Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, thank you, Farad, and welcome once again to the favorite podcast of baby boomers across, well, at least several states. It's Another Day Above Ground. This is the podcast just for you, the baby boomer. And to do it, we need a trio of baby boomers to put this together. So in addition to myself, let me introduce you to the Aristotle of comedy, Mr. Tim Slagle.
Panic abounded in Wilmington, Delaware today when a naked man was spotted wandering around, and Biden campaign workers had to make sure the basement door was still locked.
Oh. Oh. You're not helping, Tim.
And the female voices, of course, is from our Democratic representative from Denver, Colorado, Carolyn Strauss.
Hey, everybody. And nope, I don't claim to be from any party. I just claim to request to be invited to every party.
And I think Anthony Fauci's thinking about running now because they're trying to diss him, and he's the only guy with any answers to this stupid virus thing. So who knows come November who we're going to be voting for.
He's running. He's running around the gate of the White House. He's running around the outside trying to find a way back in to tell people, hello, people, there's a problem. We're on fire.
Yeah, Tony the Fauch.
We got the Mooch and the Fouch. Let's see. Now there's a show for you. The Mooch and the Fouch.
Well, I believe it's called the dog days of summer. It's kind of gets a little warm, and people try to get inventive on how to keep cool. I was talking to my brother, lives in Arizona. He goes, I think my air conditioning's going out. I can only get it down to 79 in here. I said, how hot is it outside? He goes, 114. Said, well, that's your deal right there, man. It's not going to lower it anymore.
I had to actually replace the capacitor in my air conditioner.
The flux capacitor?
No, well.
Is that an air conditioner that takes you back to 1958?
Yeah, it's got a flux capacitor. It goes back to the Ice Age. No, it's actually a simple home repair tip. It only costs $20. I was able to do it myself with just a screwdriver. And if your air conditioner is going out, send me an email or send Another Day Above Ground an email, and I can point you in the right direction. You might be able to fix it cheaply.
I can fix being hot with a screwdriver, too. Put a couple of extra ice cubes in it, and you are good for a couple of hours.
you don't know where my mind went there.
Oh, mine was right with you, buddy. It was right with you. Even when she got to the ice cubes, I'm thinking, whoa.
You guys are destroying my reputation on the planet. I need you to know that.
Oh, yeah. Like we could. Well, we have got a real treat today, you know, because here on Another Day Above Ground, we pride ourselves on cutting-edge technology, and we like to be able to bring you shows that nobody else can, even if they're with dead people. Y'all remember Winston Churchill? We dug him up. Well, this week, we have got us a real-life, bona fide Hollywood star. We have Betty Davis. Hello, Betty. Can you hear me from the great beyond?
Oh, I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, that's great. Well, welcome to Another Day Above Ground. We wish that, you know, you were above ground, but we're just glad that you can join us. What can you tell us? I got one question to start off. How come you and Bette Midler both spell your names the same way, but you're Betty and she's Bette?
Clearly, it drives me insane when people call me Bette. It's not Bette, it's Betty with an E. It's the way that I spelled it. I actually changed my name. I was spelled B-E-T-T-Y, and when I went to Hollywood, I decided I need something a little different. So I decided it was going to be Betty with an E. So we can tell Miss Bette Midler as to why we say Betty with an E.
Heck with her, she's never been on our show. Now, you are, you've got a brand new show that would normally be on Broadway since you're in New York, but of course, nobody's on Broadway right now except the rats who can't even find enough to eat. But it's Bette Midler is Not for Sissies, where you portray the younger of yourself. What can you tell us about the, well, let's start about the show, and any questions we have about Bette Midler, we'll just throw in there.
I think if we have Bette Midler on our show, then we can ask her. But this is Betty Davis.
You see what happens when you get older? You get sidetracked real easily when words are spelled the same way, you know?
It's true. You're close.
Yeah, we're not very far. We're not going to get that Betty Milder on this show.
Thanks for the introduction.
Excuse me.
You can fix it in post. Start that question again. I think we got some editing to do in this episode.
And she's technically Betty.
Just like in Betty Rubble. I got it now.
Yes.
Start through the question again. Well, I'll cut that out.
All right. Betty, we know that you've currently resurrected, for lack of a better word, and you've got a Broadway show going on, which really isn't on Broadway since nobody is right now. But you're doing it live, online, and streaming. All about, I believe it's Betty Davis's younger years.
That's right. It is. And indeed, I'm not quite on Broadway. I actually do mostly theaters outside of New York. And so I've performed in theaters anywhere from 300 seats all the way to 1,000 seat theaters. My next theater is 980 seats. But because of the current state of the union, I have to wait till next year to return to the theater. In November, I'll return to the Dixon Theater in Dixon, Illinois, the home of Ronald Reagan.
I've been many times.
Very nice.
Then.
Yes. So November of 2021, my show will return. But until then, I've adapted my show for the screen, the small screen, but it's my computer. don't tell Betty. I've had to find a way to do the show in which I could perform. Because me, Jessica, I've been performing the show for 10 years. And when I heard the pandemic was going to shut down theaters, I was really quite sad. And I realized the only thing that would make me happy was to make other people happy. So as much as I wanted to be angry at the world, I said, let's just find a way to do the show in a different way. And that scared me terribly because the show is all in big theaters and Betty's been doing it forever. But I realized I couldn't. So I was given kind of an opportunity to do some stay-at-home theater. And the gentleman said, just sit in your chair. I said, what? Just sit in my chair and do my whole show? So, of course, I didn't listen. And I did the full show out. And I realized when I watched the playback, it didn't work because you had to be intimate with your audience. And
that,
as you guys know, is huge. So I took away the bells and whistles and I gave myself permission to just sit in my chair, be simple, create intimacy with your audience and do the show. And I did the show on Facebook Live. And to my surprise, it worked, and I had audience members from when I was in Scotland, people had tuned in. When I was in England, people tuned in. I had people in Milwaukee and California and San Francisco and New York and New Jersey and all sorts of people were able to tune in, and I thought that was powerful. So I have been doing these shows, since the pandemic, so the last few months, and then now I've decided that I've given myself a proper run, and I've linked up with a company called On the Stage, where they help theaters do virtual events. So Betty is doing an On the Stage. Her opening night is July 15th, all the way September 24th, performing every other Thursday until I decide I'm done.
So what do you talk about? What fascinates you firstly about Betty Davis, other than, you know, it's spelled Bet?
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Now that we've worked that out. Good bit. She was a fighter, and I never really knew the whole Betty Davis story. I wasn't a big fan. I had only seen maybe one of her movies. And I kept getting in 2008 that I looked a little like young Betty Davis. And I'd be on the subway or I'd be walking in the streets and people I did not know would stop me and say, you look like a young Betty Davis. Fine. So I Googled her and I was shocked to see that I did indeed look like a young Betty. And then when I started reading about her young, I was fascinated. She was this 20-something, 30-something fighting Hollywood, standing up for her rights, for what she believed in. And I fell in love with that story, more so than the old Baby Jane, drunk and smoke Betty, who is important. But I fell in love with the young 31-year-old Betty Davis, who to me was closer to where I was in my own career. And I felt it was really important to tell this story because most people are, you know, drunk old Betty Davis, and I'm the only young, not drag queen playing her. She's happy.
Well, what was fascinating about her younger years? I know that she had trouble breaking through in Hollywood, and it took a while. But what type of stories would you have dredged up from her younger years?
Well, she had a lot of failure. For someone who was so famous later on, she hit failure after failure. She had done 21 films before she hit, finally, Of Human Bondage, which everyone thought this was her first film. They'd never heard of her before, and it was just because she got stuck in the rat race of Universal Pictures, and Universal had picked her up and put her into these, you know, terrible characters. She played a corpse where she had no lines and she fell out of a closet in one of her films. And you think the great Betty Davis?
It's not the first time, but Betty Davis came out of the closet.
Right.
I looked her up on the IMDb database. I think I got the letters right. Anyhow, yeah, and I was impressed. Like 1,000 films she was in. Holy Christmas. I mean, just, you know, one after another, and I never heard of any of them. I got to the, you know, the ones that that she's more famous for.
It took her years. And most people just didn't realize that she had such a fight in Hollywood. She was the first actor to really stand up for, you know, good parts and good films, because she came from theater. So she felt, why am I doing these terrible secretary roles when I can do so much more? And she was the first person to really say to producers, give actors more meaty roles that we can work on. And that's part of why I fell in love with her, because she stood up for herself young. She was the first actor to take, really take the studio system and kind of analyze it in a way that no one had done before. And many people were afraid to stand up. So she was a Yankee, and she had a voice, and she was very much supported by her mother. And so she knew that she had to stand up and speak for herself.
Fantastic.
She grew up right near where I grew up, actually. And it's our, you know, it's us tough New England broads that cause us to do things like this podcast, right? and stand up for ourselves.
It's true. It's important because she was at a time when women were not standing up for themselves. And also a reason I still feel the show is more valid than ever. 6 years ago, Betty tried to warn us about women's rights. No one really listened. And now we're finally listening a little bit better. But she really did try to warn us that things were not equal. And she went to court for it. She went to London and she had breached her contract, and Jack Warner took her to court and she lost miserably. And to have her name over every newspaper that she lost was, I imagine, such a heartbreak for her. But she didn't stop. She was always going.
When I think of her, I think that she died a long, long, long time ago. She only passed away in 1989. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah. She would have been, I think, 112 today. Yeah, her best friend Olivia is
That's only 31 years ago there. Carolyn, that's not that long ago.
Yes. But I remember seeing, you know, TV shows with when she was still alive. I mean, 89, considering she drank and smoked most of her life, she did great to live to 81 years old. She passed away in 1989. She was still working. She was still doing films until the end. She said she loved to work. That was what they called her, a workhorse. She loved the work. Good work. Had to be good work.
Which actresses that she played with did she like best?
Well, she was best friends with Olivia de Havilland. They had such a good friendship. And they were, actually, Olivia was there before Betty Davis. So I would have thought it was the other way around. But Olivia was at the studio system longer. So I imagine they must have had grand conversations in the commissary about, you know, Hollywood and being a woman at that time. And Olivia, unfortunately, had a similar problem. They thought she was too doe-eyed to play strong characters, so she'd get stuck with these characters that were kind of, you know, flimsy. And she, too, very much wanted to fight for characters that were worthwhile. But, I mean, many of those actresses, you worked long hours, so you didn't have time to be friends with everybody. Betty was friends with the people that worked hard. She did not like Miriam Hopkins. Not at all.
She wasn't too crazy about that other woman.
Joan Crawford?
Joan Crawford, yeah.
Yes.
She said she wouldn't hit a dead dog in the ass with her. But I may have made that up. But
Here's something interesting. I'm kind of doing math in my head. I might be wrong here. But when she did Baby Jane, everyone kind of thought she was an over-the-hill senior citizen actress, washed up, that her career was over. She was, I'm guessing, only 51.
Yeah. Yeah. She actually, at the age of 40, I have this in my play, Warner Brothers did not renew her contract because they didn't have any scripts for a woman her age. And they let her contract after 18 years, 52 films, let her contract expire. Baby Jane only happened because Joan Crawford was so desperate to get back to Hollywood that she found a book and she felt, oh my goodness, the only person that could possibly bring this story to life would be Betty Davis. And that brought her back because Betty at that point had left Hollywood. She had gone to New York to do theater. And she has a famous quote about, you know, you're a washed up actress when you do theater. But it was her first love. So she had come back to do a Tennessee Williams play called Night of the Iguana. And it was, she stayed for a while, and then Joan Crawford offered her this opportunity. They bit into their feud. You know, it was fun for them. They got to create publicity they hadn't had in so long. So I do think some of it is more made up than it actually was. But they were different actresses. Like, Betty didn't care what she looked like. Crawford did. Crawford would have air conditioning on, everyone would be freezing. Like, there were things that Betty just didn't understand about Joan Crawford. And, you know, but that was, she was not old when she looked like.
No, 50, like 51, that's, she's not even old enough to be listening to this podcast.
Yeah. You said that that they said that theater was, you know, the end of your career if you were in movies. Is that what you said? Because there's a saying around the comedy business is, you know, and baby boomers would appreciate this and at least get it. You know, your career is over when you hear the words, "I'll take Dale Irvin in the center square to block."
That's Zoom, right?
I would not admit in public what I would do to get in that center square, Dale.
With Paul Lynn. So, did Betty have a lot of romance in her life? Or was she a goer?
Yeah. I mean, she went where she wanted to go. She wasn't one of those actresses who did it to get to the next place. Like, that was a Joan Crawford way of doing it. You would sleep with whatever you wanted so you could get further along. Betty just enjoyed. So she had affairs and she was married four times. Betty was not great with, like, romance at home. She kind of played too much of the male character, and I think her romances suffered for that reason. If I were to look at her as a whole person, I would say she was a great movie star, but she didn't have a happy home life. She drank a lot, argued a lot. Her daughter wrote a seething book about her. She had adopted a few kids. They kind of stayed in touch. But she had a tough time just being at home. But they had fun. They were on sets for 18 hours. So you had a break. You made sure you had fun with whoever you were working with. She had had a crush on Franchot Tone, who was engaged to Joan Crawford. And I think that was the beginning of part of that rivalry, because that was Betty was in danger. She was like 25 years old. She kind of had a crush on this other actor, and it happened to be Joan Crawford's soon-to-be fiance.
Huh. That'll ruin a relationship.
So I see that there you won an Oscar, Betty. I see it over your shoulder. Tell us what that was like.
That's right. I have two Oscars, not one, but two. This is Jezebel. That's dangerous. you see it? My little Oscars. I use them in the show. They're so fun. Winning an Oscar was interesting because I should have won for Of Human Bondage. I should have. And probably one of the best performances Betty Davis ever had was Of Human Bondage. It's the first time anyone had ever seen true character acting on screen, very vulnerable. And she did her own makeup, and she's a woman dying of consumption, so she didn't try to look like a glamour puss. And she was nominated for an Oscar, and Jack Warner sent a letter to all employees that if they voted for her, they would lose their jobs. So he blocked it in the studio system, as they were very powerful, those producers. And he blocked her first Oscar, which she should have won for. A year later, she won for Dangerous. But Dangerous was like a mediocre picture. It was okay. It wasn't a true performance, but it was what they did in those days. He also wanted to keep it in Warner Brothers because Of Human Bondage was a loan out for RKO. Jack being Jack wanted his to be the best. So she did get a second Oscar for Jezebel, rightfully so, because it was a fantastic film and her acting was superbly Bette Davis in a younger kind of Bette Davis way. So those were the two Oscars she received, many nominations thereafter. She thought she was going to win for All About Eve, her third Oscar. She was certain of it. And then a young actress who played Anne Baxter, who played the other character, she lobbied for Best Actress instead of Supporting Actress. So Betty and Anne Baxter split the vote, and it went to Judy Holliday. Complete scandal, because we all can imagine that performance. If you look at Judy Holliday's performance, it's very good in Born Yesterday, but it's not Bette Davis in All About Eve. So that was her third Oscar that she lost, and her career suffered after that. She truly, and I go over this in my play, she needed that Oscar desperately to keep my career alive. I needed that Oscar to still be in the running because she was 40. And when you're 40 at that point, unless you get Oscars in Hollywood, you were washed up, as we say.
Yeah, back then, the only time 40 was a good thing was if it was a measurement.
I don't know. Those poor actresses were like 29 waists. Not even. I think Betty at one point was like a 19-inch waist in 1939 when she won. She did five films in 1939. She weighed 85 pounds, and her waist was like 19 inches because they were working her to death. That's why she's in so many films. They worked these actresses to death. All of them did. There were a lot of accidents on set that went, you know, unbeknownst, but they covered up a lot. The press covered up accidents and mishaps. And, you know, if you did get pregnant, they had someone who came onto the set and took care of it. They called it the fixer. They would put in the press. Mm-hmm. The studio had a person. And there's a terrible article called The Fixer Was My Birth Control. They would have these people because it was in your contract. You weren't allowed to get pregnant. Betty couldn't get pregnant. She had two abortions because her contract stated she was not allowed. So she had a child at the age of 39 was when she birthed her child, Barbara Davis. And unfortunately, we ask ourselves if Betty had had a child earlier, would she be Bette Davis? Probably not. Many of these actresses, you have a kid and that's it. You're done. Now it's a little different, but still we fight these fights as a woman to have a full life. But in the contract, which Betty fought miserably when she was in London, she said these contracts are slavery. They're unfair.
Yeah, and
she was getting.
That's kind of like China, that if you get pregnant, we have someone to take care of it. That's horrible.
Or Jeffrey Epstein, you know, either way. But so didn't she get cheesed out 1 year because of Gone with the Wind?
She did. And my play is all about that. So. The Los Angeles Times leaked the winners early, who was going to win and who was going to lose the Oscars. So why stay it? I leave the Oscars early. And we journey through Bette Davis's life when she gets home that night, angry by the fact because she was actually up for Gone with the Wind. She and Errol Flynn were offered as loan outs to do the film. She'd worked with Errol Flynn many times. She said, absolutely not. He's not right for the part. He's not right for the part. She kind of shot herself in the foot. A little bit, because that took her out of the running. She really thought that Jack Warner would fight, because she just won an Oscar for Jezebel. She was a top dog in Hollywood. And he just didn't fight. He let the rights go. The rights went to Selznick, and Selznick then did a poll all over Hollywood. Who's going to be the next Scarlett O'Hara? And it was a joke. They had everybody. Everyone auditioned, you know, from Lucille Ball to like everyone. And the poll came back.
I would have liked
Davis would win.
I'm sorry. I would have loved to see Lucille Ball in that role.
Rat.
Sarah.
Little rat. Well, it's a good thing she didn't get that role because she would have been portrayed as a slave owner today and they would have torn down her statue. So there you go.
There you go.
They tore down her statue anyway. Did you see it? Did you ever see a picture of it?
It was no. It was horrible. It's going way off topic here, but it didn't look like her. It looked like zombie Lucille Ball, and so they had to tear it.
Lucille Ball. I thought we were
Lucille Ball. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this Lucille Ball statue. That looked terrible. Yeah, yeah. Anyhow, so one more time, where can people go to see this marvelous production of Bette Davis Is Not for Sissies?
It ain't for sissies. So I'm going to tell you right now, because I should know this. It's called onthestage.com, but I want to read you the actual way to get the tickets, because I should know this offhand, but I don't. So I'm going to look.
Yeah, you may want to prepare for your next podcast a little bit.
Yeah, right? And I knew, I told myself, I said, make sure you have that email up because you're going to forget. And sure enough, I'm forgetting so well on camera. Oh, boy. Let's see here. Okay. Here we go. Since we've awaited so well. It's going to be onthestage.com/show, S-H-O-W / Bette Davis Ain't for Sissies. Or you can actually, when I'm thinking, just go to my website, BettyDavisAintForSissies.com. And that's Betty with an E, AintForSissies.com. BettyDavisForSissies, AintForSissies.com. You'll find information there, but on the stage.
All right. Yes. Great. Well, thank you very much, Betty. We really appreciate, and we appreciate Jessica, who brought you to us. And I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I think it's going to be really good, because you can save money because I can make my own popcorn. Here, I'm saving $40 right now. You know,
that's right. That's no parking. Sit at home. I do it from my home to yours. I also wear a piece of Betty's garments. I was given her scarf.
Wow.
And her gloves to wear in the show. So there's always a piece of Betty in every show. And I think that Betty really likes it that way.
Well, absolutely. That's very cool. I don't have a piece of anything to wear from anybody famous. Either of you guys have anything famous from anybody? No, that's very nice.
It's lovely.
Jessica Scherer, thank you so very much for joining us and bringing Bette Davis along, because all of our baby boomers remember her, and we really wish she was with us on Another Day Above Ground. Thanks so much.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye. Remember, I have two Oscars, not one, but two.
All right, that wraps it up for another week here on Another Day Above Ground. We want to thank Jessica Scherer once again and her show, Bette Davis Ain't for Sissies. Check that out online until it goes live again, which hopefully it will next year. And I want to remind everybody to visit our website, anotherdayaboveground.com. When you go on there, you can not only listen to all of our episodes, you can read more about us, you can see what's happening, and we would like to hear from you what topics you would like to hear about on this show, or possibly if you'd like to be on the show, we'd certainly consider it. That being said, Carolyn, do you have anything left to say?
Actually, I do. I have a brand new program that I just put out for my real life, which is working with business executives. It's called 100 Minutes to Brilliant Blended Meetings, and you can find out about it at brilliant100.com. That's brilliant, the number 100.com. And I'm very excited about it. You know, I had to do something to keep myself busy during this whole 4 months of not being busy. So I created this whole program. It's pretty great. Check
it out.
Terrific.
Terrific. One more time. Where is it at? 100?
Brilliant100.com.
Brilliant100.com. Terrific. How about you, Tim? I know you got a show coming up.
Yeah, I got a show coming up. I didn't want to steal the scene from Betty, but I've got a performance you can see anywhere in any time zone. I'll be appearing at Acme Comedy in Minneapolis August 5th through 8th. And not only if you're in Minneapolis, you can stop by and see the show live, but you can also, anywhere you are, you can buy Zoom tickets and watch the show from the comfort and social distance of your own home. It's if you want more information on that, go to my Facebook page, Tim Slagle, and there's details there.
We'll put that on the Another Day Above Ground Facebook page, too, because that's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
And on our website. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I have absolutely nothing coming up, so it's real easy to find. You don't even have to turn your computer on. But if you would like a smile every week in addition to this podcast, you can watch my video cast of Dale Irvin's Friday Funnies. And you can subscribe to that for free at daleirvin.com. And that's always a good time, too. Other than that, we thank you for being with us. We hope to see you all next week. And please tell your fellow baby boomer friends or anybody in the home that this is a great podcast to listen to. We'll see you next week. But right now, it's Another Day Above Ground.
And that's it for Another Day Above Ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.